This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes. I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Another edition of the High Ups Podcast presented by Miller Lite, official sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritz, I don't really have a ton to say today. Not much has changed since the last time we spoke. We're kind of just, as you've said, for like the last month, get me the playoffs. Now it's like get us literally into the playoffs so we can stop paying attention to this stupid regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But Taiwanimus.
Taiwanimus.
That's the only reason we're here today. Taiwanimus.
Big day. Big day. It's a for the movement.
I mean, is there anything more poetic, appropriate, whatever you, or of course, you know, is there anything more than Taiwan like clinching a playoff spot tonight against the Mets? Like, is there a more like ridiculous way to tie the loop?
Yes. Well, and I was getting a lot of messages earlier this morning. Already feels like a loss. Can't disagree more. Can't disagree more. Feels like a win. Feels like a win. Like I really hope Taiwanimus becomes a thing.
I know you
it's
do.
Too good of a name. It's too good of a name. So Taiwan's in the mound tonight with a chance to end this thing. It was annoying watching the Brewers be able to celebrate something last night.
Well, especially because they had already clinched. Like they clinched at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the Cubs won or lost. So it's like, all right. Like, you couldn't just, like, give us tonight, you jerks.
Dude, I wanted the double clinch, man. I wanted the
it
double.
Cool.
It would have been funny.
Both teams
maybe they could just, like, bond. You know,
they could all celebrate together. Hey! Have Reese come over.
Reese definitely would have came over.
Oh.
Now, I will say, probably better for the Mets series that they did not win last night.
Agree.
Weren't going to go. They said they weren't going to go too hard and whatever.
Champagne toast.
Yeah, the old champagne. Yeah. Can we just get rid of champagne?
I knew he was going to say something bad. Going,
it's not so bad. Bad.
It's not bad.
It tastes horrible.
No, it does not taste horrible.
Yes, it does. Well, wine tastes horrible too. But people, I can't do it. It smells horrible.
So I'm not, I'm a beer guy, not a wine guy personally, but like, I will drink wine. It's nice. Like, wine's fine. Right? And champagne is lovely.
What's lovely heartburn, about champagne?
The only issue is heartburn.
It's wine tasting seltzer.
You just, watch yourself. All right. Rein it the hell in there, buddy. All right.
A big take.
Yeah, we are
big takes only on this
we
podcast.
We are a pro seltzer podcast in all forms. Okay. Even pretend forms that you think taste like it.
Where's Schweppes coming out with a seltzer, by the way? A hard seltzer? Come on, Schweppes.
Are they?
I don't know. They should.
They should.
Are they still around?
I think so. You know,
dude, Schweppes was a staple.
I know.
They're the OG. They're the OGs of seltzer.
Them, Canada Dry, you know, the vintage.
And now, dude, I called LaCroix. LaCroix.
I do too. People get really mad. I did it for a while. Time. Yeah. Well, my wife, Emily, got mad. She was like, it's LaCroix. I'm like,
LaCroix.
I think it's LaCroix.
Yeah.
And she had to pull up on the website. They have some slogan where it's like, LaCroix is like the boy or so. It's something that rhymes and it's clearly LaCroix. And I was like, It's not nearly
as fun. So champagne's gross. And like, they probably would have been fine for today. But, and by the way, like, can we stop with these teams having a night game like before a road trip? They played at 7:15 last night.
I know.
Or 7:40 last night. Now they gotta get on a plane to New York and go and try to win. I just they probably got it in what, like 2 a.m?
I know. Well, and like the Brewers came from that like 12-8-10 game in Arizona, flew back and played a game right away. Now this not road trip, but still it's like enough already.
Speak the game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Grow up. I know you want to celebrate the division.
I know. Especially a middle of the week game. Like, I feel like Wednesday games, I honestly almost feel like the third game of any series should always be a day game.
I agree.
Like, what are we doing here?
Well, and what pretty disappointing in the Brewers fans. No one there.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty empty. Shocking. Not enough people there to see Chuck from Mount Airy on the big screen. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. We only got one report of the Chuck from Mount Airy thing. And had that not happened, we would have been robbed of a great moment. So
pretty hilarious.
Yes, it was.
So for those who didn't see it, just to say what we're talking about, the Brewers, for one of Harper's at-bats, put on their big screen, like the Jumbotron, like they put little facts or whatever. And was like hit his 299th home run for Chuck for Matt Harry goal at the WIP or sports radio or whatever.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
Good move.
Props.
I think the person directly responsible for that, and I'm sure he was a big fan when he was here, was Matt Klentak. I mean, Klentak had to be like, listen.
Good point.
When I was driving around, I always loved listening to WIP.
Yeah.
And we just figured we'd give him a nice little shout out.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's that Matt Klentak, longtime High Hopes listener,
yes,
heard us give him a little credit recently and was like, you know what? I'm going to give Jack back one.
Yep.
Because I know that this will make Jack happy. It happened on his show. I think it really mattered to him. They were so cool to me. Always had my back.
Always called him King Klentak.
King Klentak. Yep. I mean, we gave him that nickname. No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just saying.
Again, he's going to be remembered as the Ed Wade of the eventual World Series champion, maybe, Philadelphia Phillies.
Ran tricky. We all remember. Yeah.
Oh, he did sign Zach Wheeler, who turns out.
No, we actually did this thing. Good. Like, I'm actually serious. Like, you look at the vast majority of, like, the Chris Sanchez trade. I mean, come on, dude. Like, there's multiple things where you can look and be like, all right, Matt. All right, bro. You know, I mean, John Middleton signed Bryce Harper, but he did put the contract together. I mean, JT trade. Yeah, that looks like a great trade. I mean, could there be a better trade than trading nothing for JT?
Like we always say, always trade the prospects.
Yeah. I will say, if Klentak wants to be mad at anyone, he should be mad at Andy McPhail. Let's be honest.
Of course.
Andy McPhail absolutely ruined Matt Klentak's opportunity.
The big question is, if they do get it done, do they send Klentak a courtesy ring?
I like that.
I think he should. I think Klentak deserves a ring.
I do.
McPhail does not deserve a ring.
No, McPhail deserves a
I don't think he knows he was a Philly.
McPhail deserves a lit bag on his doorstep. No, a lit bag on his doorstep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, a classic prank move there. That's what I would give to McPhail.
Remember when he did the press conference from his house in Maryland?
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Has anyone ever just put their feet up more in the history of Philadelphia? Like, he's just like, okay. Hey, I'm watching a movie. All right. Figure it out yourselves. Like, I feel like that's always my image. I was going, hey, Matt Klentak, come on me. Hey, Andy, question for you. Figure it out. Okay.
I don't got time today.
Yeah. I'm watching The Matrix.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it.
What a time. what a time.
I do like the, and we joke about it always, you know, the Adam Eaton and all that, and then Taiwan and all that. I do like the potential ring group this year. Like, I like the idea of Buddy Kennedy getting a ring.
Aww.
I like the idea of Cal Stevenson getting a ring and Joe from Northeast getting a ring for Cal Stevenson.
Weeping. Yep.
It's a fun group. It's like, you know, the Adam Eaton thing. Like, there's a lot of guys where I think if they could pull it off, would get like a fun ovation.
It's not as, there's not a Bubby Rossman deep cut, like the 2022 team, or Kingery getting
a
pennant ring.
Yeah.
But yes, there is a good collection.
Yeah, and just fun guys. Exciting. And guys who have felt like, to the Buddy Kennedy point, where like these guys might have only been here for a minute or two, but it felt like they contributed in one way or another.
You know who would get a ring? Brogdon. Dude, Brogdon.
Remember our guy. Shout out to the Brogdons.
He got shelled.
Yeah, he did.
And then they sent him immediately to the Dodgers. But
he was part of the turnaround.
Yeah.
It's like a symbolic ring.
I like that we're talking World Series.
I do too.
It's good.
What do you think?
It's healthy.
If you're like Connor Brogdon, for example, like Buddy Kennedy, you're here. If you're like a Connor, like Adam Eaton, for example, like how do you feel about that?
Well, Adam Eaton earned that ring. He made 28 starts, or I think he made like 20 some starts on that team. Brogdon pitched two innings.
Okay, you're Brogdon. You pitched two innings on a team. Like, how do you feel when you get that ring? Like, is it just like a
thanks?
Like, I mean, it's a World Series ring, but it's also like, I didn't really earn this ring. Like, what do you do?
You tell your kids you're a World Series.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And do you wear the ring out? Like we just had John DeFilippo on the morning show with us. It was awesome. He was really good. But you know what he did? He wore his freaking Super Bowl ring in because he's like, yeah, I earned this. I was a part of this, and he deserved to do that. Like, if there are other people who wear that Super Bowl ring around who don't deserve it,
mm-hmm.
No names. But like, how would you feel? Would you rock the ring? Would you ever? I feel like
I would probably just put it
in a safe or something, and then display and just have it sitting in.
Would never wear it.
What's that? Oh, it's I played for him for like a minute. I got a ring. It was pretty cool. Like,
I'm not a ring guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not either. Other than
I can't.
The old wedding ring.
Yeah, it's too big.
Yeah.
I have skinny fingers.
Okay. At least something.
I don't have a good like ring finger guy.
Does it fall off you?
Nah, it's just like. I have skinny fingers. And I feel like it doesn't.
I think you're just getting skinny all around here. Look at you.
Under 220 for the first time in 10 years.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No big deal to me.
Good for you.
Look at these things. That's not a ring hand. You know what I mean? Like, there's not.
I don't think they're that skinny.
There hasn't been much grit.
Kind of look a little chubby, to be honest.
I don't think so. I think you got chubbier hands than I do.
Do I?
That's definitely chubby.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
It's more wear and tear on yours. I have longer fingernails.
Yeah, and I'm older.
Yeah, you know, more so yeah.
Beat up more.
That was a beautiful moment.
A lot more manual labor.
Tucker, did you get that on camera?
Oh, yeah, that'll be a great screenshot for the thumbnail later.
We'll have it come, like, if you could slow it down, too. And maybe get, what's the song? What's the song where the guy's just running in slow motion? Charlotte of the...
Chariots of Fire?
Chariots of Fire.
Oh, yeah!
Chariots of Fire. So we're just producing. Just producing
pretty
all
good
day.
There.
Thank you.
I like it. You ever see the movie Chariots of Fire?
Never. Would never.
My birth year, 1981.
Dude,
I only know it's the best picture winner from that year. I've never seen it. No, there you go.
You love the Oscars.
I do. I'm an Oscars man.
Dude, it's there's.
I know.
So all right, this
I don't love it like I used to.
I don't want to.
I will never defend the Oscars. I just love it.
I don't want to rip you.
Yeah,
it's hard not to.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The two worst versions of Seltzer Twitter. Is
there is no Seltzer Twitter. Like, I tweet like six times a week.
Eagles game day Seltzer.
Yeah.
Beyond the worst. Almost unfollowable. And
I tweet like six times during the year. 10 times during the
year. Push. LOL. Saquon touchdown. LOL.
It's LFG. I don't do LOL. I do LFGs. Yeah.
And then Oscar Seltzer, where he's like, I can't believe that you're... How did that not win Best Picture? I don't know. I didn't vote. I don't care.
I don't think these are actual tweets.
Dude, you on Oscars Day is like your 20 films.
Yes,
rank.
I tweet out my 10 films rank because I watch the Oscar films because I'm a completist. Thank you.
Did you say you're a completist?
When it comes to the Oscars, I'm a completist. I got to watch all 10 Best Pictures. Now, I could start a TV show, watch an episode, and just give up on it. So okay. I'm not really a completist in most things. When it comes to the Oscars, got to watch all 10.
Yep. Tush push.
What were we talking about? Where are we?
They struck out 32 times in two games.
Yeah, good. Nolan was good.
Nolan was great.
He was really good. Great. Whenever there's a chance to clinch, he's just like lockdown.
Besides in game six. But
oh no. I meant in the regular season. Good point.
Has to be brought up.
Yeah, it does.
Has to be brought up. So Nolan was great last night, and it was so important from the standpoint of like where they're currently at. I think we feel pretty good about a lot of portions of the team. So I think Schwarber has been like Schwarb temper might be a thing. He's been great. Turner has turned it around. He's looking, you know, healthy, which is important. Bryce, the power is coming
huge.
Back. Cassianos, Bohm. They got to figure out the four spot. It was good. It was good to see.
It was good to see.
Marsh has been heating up. Stott, I think we're just what it is. So you feel good about that. You feel good about at least Wheeler and Sanchez. And then you feel like they got four or five guys in the bullpen. You feel great about it. The key to this whole thing going the way we want it to go, they need Nola. And that's not like breaking news, but like he couldn't head into the postseason pitching the way he was. I mean, he was.
But he could. He did it last year.
No. But what he did last year was horrible. The first three starts of September and then the last.
No, he got the last two. He had the mechanical, the fame.
Oh, man. Pointing at the third baseline.
Right.
First base.
I don't know why. I kind of just trust that Nola's going to be fine by the playoffs. Sure. Like, even if without last night, prior to last night, like, I just think he's going to be fine. And I think it's going to be the kind of thing where, you know, if he makes, you know, five playoff starts, I think three will be great. I think one will be okay. Okay. And one will be bad.
Awesome.
And that's Aaron Nola. Like,
he's a coin flip.
Yeah.
He's not.
He's like better than a coin. In the playoffs, I think he's better than a coin flip. I think he's like a four-sided coin where three of them are the same side. You know what I mean?
Sure. All right, so the four outcomes, you feel good about three of them, and then there's always the one.
That's my
door
point. Yeah, that's exactly. Disaster. Yeah,
it's just I guess the way to put it is that I never know what I'm gonna get.
I totally agree with that. You don't know which day that's
we're getting the bat. Like Wheeler,
yeah, no doubt.
You feel that's pretty great about.
No, it's great. Well, Wheeler, I expect nothing but brilliance in the wild.
He is, and I think we do this every single year. Yeah. Like every single year, we're like
underrated. We don't give enough credit for how great he is,
but we don't. everyone, listen. You know, Cliff. We love Cliff. Mm-hmm. Love Doc. We love those guys. Like
Cole.
Cole. He's in there.
Like, without a doubt.
He's 100% in there. And like, Halliday for those 2 years is the best I've seen.
Without a doubt.
There's no doubt about it.
It's just what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. But like he should be right behind him.
He's probably next.
He's ahead of Cliff.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. I just think he's ahead of Cliff Lee. I do. As a Philly. Like, I do. Especially when you take into account the, I mean, his playoffs, like, obviously Halliday didn't pitch as much and had no hitter and all that. But like, what Wheeler's done over two postseasons is as good as it gets.
His
as
career, good as a Philly could be. His career postseason ERA is 2.4. Yeah,
and I think he still has the, does he still have the best whip in the history of the postseason? He's up there. He is one of the best whips in the history of the postseason.
It's lower than Rivera.
All pitch. Yeah, it's like 0.7 or something crazy like that. Like 0.8. Like, it is absurd what this guy, he has been as great. He has been through two playoffs, and we'll see. He's been the best Phillies postseason pitcher of all time through two playoffs.
Well, and there's no one in baseball that I would rather give the baseball to in a big game than Zach Wheeler.
I think I agree with that. Yeah,
you could say Sale because of what he's done this year,
but Sale's not in the playoffs as much. I mean, he's won with Boston on, but he hasn't done it in the playoffs much, and he struggled in the end of that.
Now
he came in at the end and closed it out.
I could say nasty Nate Eovaldi, but probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I like where your head's at.
We're getting nasty Nate this offseason. Yeah. That's my goal. My goal is offseason. I need
that's all you need, nasty Nate.
Just one. I want one Eovaldi season. Just one.
Okay.
This is when he's not cooked. That's my goal.
Where is he gonna start in the rotation with Andrew Painter? Or is that not a thing?
He's gonna be there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Six man.
Listen, let's figure it out. It's not my job. Just give me one season of nasty Nate. But Wheeler's he's an absolute horse. He's a definition of a horse. He's a monster. So, but getting Nola back and getting him on the right track, and then he heading into the postseason, I still in my gut think he's going to start game two. It's so Rob Thompson to just be like, Nola's gotten us here.
Nola's
he's
starting game two. Like,
I think that's fair.
It just is what it is. Like, I don't think they're, honestly, I think there is a 0.1% chance that Nola doesn't start game two. Like, I would put it like
10%.
Would you really? Yeah. Like, in all honesty, why? Yes. You think they'll really look at the numbers and see how great he's been at home? I just don't. I think Nola's their number two.
Like, but I also do believe that they would say to Nola, you see the numbers, right?
I
don't think Nola would care. I mean,
I don't think Nola would care. I just don't think they'll do it.
I don't think they'll do it either, but I don't think it's like a 0.00% chance. I think there's like a 10% chance.
I don't. 1%.
Okay.
You got me to 1%.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. My big question on Sanchez is, are they going to trust him? Like, are they going to let Chris Sanchez cook? Like, last year in Arizona, he went, what, 3-4?
Yeah, I think he might have gone 2-2/3 earlier, right? Or something like that. Yeah.
They got him out of there fast. They did not trust
him.
Maybe
it was 3-2/3. It was something like that.
And I hope that's not the case this year. I hope that's not the case this year with Chris Sanchez. I think he's earned that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Ranger, on the other hand, he's going to have to start a playoff game. But like, I think that he is going to be more used like the 2022 Ranger, where it was in the bullpen sometimes, start a game when you need him. But the bullpen's also in a different spot, so it's hard to totally say. Ranger at this point is a one or one and a half, like halfway through a lineup guy. You can't let him face an opposing lineup twice.
Right now it's like it's hard.
He's basically, you have to treat him like an opener.
Yeah,
he's getting shelled the second or third.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's a shame. And really, it's too bad that he was never able to kind of. And look, maybe the playoffs come, and you know, like Harper in 2022, he just can figure it out and the heartbeat and all that stuff. But it is a shame that he never was able to reestablish, because he was the best pitcher in baseball for 2 months, which is crazy.
Who could forget?
Like 10-1 with a sub-2 ERA. Like, he was phenomenal. It's too bad.
Well, and I think he still looks like that back's tight. Like, he can't fully let it loose. So, again, the time off, maybe at the end of the year, gets him like something. Because they, at this point, if they don't get a 1 or 2 seed, it'd be pretty disappointing. But
yeah, especially having the tiebreaker now on the Brewers by winning one of those games, they're up 3 on the Brewers. Which means 4 with 10 to play or 11 to play or something. And it would be a monumental collapse if they can't
be disappointed.
So real quick on that, because again, I don't have too much to say today, but I think the most we talked about this last pod, and I was very much in like, I don't think you can think about playing for the two or whatever. And I don't think they will. I think that you play what you play and whatever. And who knows, maybe the last series, if it's 1 or 2, and it's not, But you, I do think your argument for the two because of who you're going to play. And again,
there's things that can change.
The Mets are scary too. Mm-hmm. Like the Mets could walk through the playoffs the way they've been playing. But I do make that argument because I do think that is a compelling way to look at it. Like, I still think you play the best you can and you try and get the one. But the argument that you're facing the Brewers Mets winner as opposed to the Diamondbacks Padres winner is a pretty good argument.
It's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah.
We watched the Brewers the last couple of nights. I think that offensively, they're a bunch better than they're not the last couple of years Brewers where they just didn't have pieces offensively. Now, they did a really good job against Chirio, who I think is a problem. I think he's going to be really good. Willie Adames, 0-20 this year against the Phillies, which I can just feel it in my gut. I can just feel it. They get into a postseason series and he goes nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
The way they kept talking about how he hasn't got a hit against the Phillies, I kept betting on him. I was like, he's going to hit a home run. Mm-hmm. It was a +850 at one point, but regardless. But like we watched the Brewers the last couple of nights. Their number one is Freddy Peralta, who I like Freddy Peralta,
me too, but
for me, he's like a two.
Yeah, maybe even a three, really. Like
Frankie Montas.
Yeah, I know.
Is their next best starter? I mean,
freaking Aaron Civale. It's a bunch of cast-offs. And look, they've done a nice job. Like
they always do.
They do. I mean, Civale last year looked like he was done.
Mm-hmm.
He's been nice for them. Like, it's certainly over the last cut. He started poor, but Montas, same thing. Uh-huh. Like, Montas, it looked like, you know, wow, his career might never get back to where it was. If the Yankees thing, odd since then, he was okay. He's been really good. I mean, 10 strikeouts last night or 2 nights ago, whatever. Like, they're very impressive in their ability to take these guys and just reform them.
An unbelievable pitching development program. And then you get to the bullpen. Their bullpen's nasty.
I mean, they got dudes.
They got a bunch of dudes that throw hard, and the Devin Williams seems impossible.
You know, I love the witch thing. We're like trying and all. Like Devin Williams is a witch.
Yeah.
Like he is. I don't understand. It's like a wiffle ball. Like I don't get it.
Brewers Phillies would be excruciating.
Yeah. With it would be part
2-1. 1-0.
It would be a horrible series to watch. It would not be fun at all.
I don't think it would do well numbers-wise, but in an effort to keep this in line with 08, Brewers-Dodgers, would be nice.
It's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Thank you.
I can't... So the Diamondbacks, as I said, I want to wait the longest possible. I want
to
beat them.
I want someone to knock them out.
Exactly. I don't. I would prefer not to play the Diamondbacks.
And they're not even playing that well right now.
No, but
I just don't care.
I'm just not in on it. I'm not in. But I don't, and I know they're talented, and they've been also, it's them, the Mets and the Diamondbacks, the best teams in baseball since the All-Star, or since London or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't get scared of the Padres. I don't know why. I know they have the talent. They got, Dylan Cease is amazing. Like, the bullpen's great. Like, I just can't get there with the Padres. I don't know why.
The Padres terrify me. Yeah. It's the bullpen. It's Machado looks.
He looks good.
Like, yeah, 3 years ago,
yeah.
Machado. Tatis is back and healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got a 300 season out of Profar.
They've got a lot of talent.
Yes.
I know. Like, I don't know why. They just... Maybe it's
Bedlam.
2 years ago.
You're thinking about Bedlam at the bank. This team's better than that team. It's like with Cease and Musgrove now back and Darvish now back, and then you get to the back end of the bullpen with Suarez, and they won't... Theoretically, they won't have a hater situation, so they'll bring in guys whenever they want. So the Padres 100% worry me, and what... They're pretty like smartly constructed with Cronenworth and Arise and the guys that
put the ball. Far, well, yeah. I mean, Arise, it's insane. What is it? He's had 2 strikeouts this year or something.
Yeah.
Or last since whatever. He's
insane. I know.
Since the All-Star break or whatever. It's nuts. He's so annoying.
He's fine.
I love him.
Him in a postseason series would be infuriating.
One of the, like, outside of like put Juan Soto on the Phillies. Yeah, sure. That'd be cool. Like outside of superstars or whatever, like, there's no one I'd want on the Phillies more than Luis Arraez. Just in a vacuum. Like obviously it doesn't fit right now and all that, but like I love guys like that. I love a guy who's just gonna go up and hit over 300 every year and put the bat on the ball. Yeah, like we love Segura though here. You know, Arraez is a significantly better version as a hitter than Segura. So
So the Padres, I think of all the teams, they actually worry me the most.
That's interesting.
I actually think I'm more worried about the Padres than the Dodgers.
Wow.
Yeah, which is bad.
Strong take.
100% bad. It's using the Dodgers' history against them for sure.
Yeah, fair, but also like, you know.
So the case for the two seed is simple. It's
very straightforward.
The Brewers are good, but I think of the teams I would like to play them, and the Mets, like. They've obviously been really good.
The Mets scare me. There's something going on with them. I don't like it. I don't like it. Plus, what's worse, losing the Padres or losing the Mets?
Losing the Padres. Oh, no, losing the Mets.
Yeah, that's way worse. Yeah. Like, if losing the Mets is like, oh,
No, I can't handle it.
Shut me down. I'm not looking at anything for the offs. I'm done.
I know.
Like, if Lisa Pajic, it would suck. We'd be like, all right, we got him a couple years ago. They got us. Yeah, move on.
No, no.
You know, I'm just saying. I'm just looking out for us here.
I know. Either way, it's going to be tough. Now, getting home field all throughout the playoffs would be
huge.
Big. And obviously,
I don't think the Phillies are thinking this way. I think the Phillies are going.
They shouldn't think this.
No, and they shouldn't. I agree. I think the Phillies are going to play for the one seed. And look, again, the last week of the season, if they know that the one and the two are locked up and they look at it and they're like, all right, you know what? Rest. It's possible. Then they're like, all right, let's get some guys a blow or whatever. But I do think
that would be really interesting.
It'd be fascinating.
Tank the final weekend.
It'd be fascinating. Well, especially because we know that has not worked well.
No.
Again.
History has not been kind to teams who try to finagle.
No, it hasn't. And that's why my gut is I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thought.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Let the chips fall. Look, they're only one up on the Dodgers, which means two with the tiebreaker, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, Dodgers, their pitching staff is I don't know, man. Like, they got shelled by the Marlins the other night.
Yeah, they give 11 or something.
Yeah, and the Marlins kind of slowly came back last night. Marlins are a little frisky.
Yeah, Connor Norby, Otto Lopez. You an Otto Lopez guy?
I like him.
I love
Xavier Edwards.
Yeah, oh, he is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Griffin Conine. I like.
We know you're a Norby guy. You've talked about
Connor Norby's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would die.
Yeah, they got some dudes. They're horrible. They're a bad team.
But they're not. I don't know. Like right now, they're definitely not horrible.
No. They're frisky.
Frisky. Did you see the White Sox tweet last night?
It's so funny because I ended up, because it was the only game on from, you know, on the second TV. I'm hanging with them late, and from like I guess like 5:50, 6 o'clock until 6:40 started, or maybe it was like 6:10 until then. The only game on was Angels White Sox. So your boy was watching Angels White Sox and ended up going to like I left it in the 13th inning to go watch the Phillies or 12th inning or whatever, but it ended up going for a while. Angels ended up winning. But yes, I watched a lot of Angels White Sox.
That's
yesterday.
Disgusting.
It wasn't
good. Now the White Sox tweeted after the game last night. Final. The other team scored more runs than us. Good work.
I don't know about you. Obviously, I already feel like I won my take bolt thing. I feel great about that. Mm-hmm. That was a great call by me. I want to see him lose 121. It seems fun. It seems at this point, like, let me see 121 lost team. I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Well, the good part is that not many people have seen 100. Like, no one's watched.
I know. Yeah.
No, I mean, like,
yeah.
No one's physically seen all those losses.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. There's not one person. I mean,
besides the broadcast.
Yeah, I was about to say broadcasters. Yeah, because the manager got fired, so not even him. Yeah,
broadcasting. Oh, Grady Sizemore is their manager right now.
I know. I love Grady. It's my guy.
Former Philly Grey.
Yeah,
I was so
in the tank for Grady. Sizemore.
Oh my god, and he was
when
hot.
He first came up with when he first came up with the Indians, not the Guardians back mm-hmm. then. I thought he was a freaking star.
Well, he was.
He was. He was an all star. Yeah, he was really good.
Him and Ellsbury.
Very both, similar. Yeah,
both should have been better.
Yeah, I agree. Ellsbury had that 1 year. Was it 30 years?
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but. 2015 Grady Sizemore, where he had like two hot weeks.
Super sorry. It was injuries, man. He had microfracture surgery, just couldn't recover. It sucked. Yep. Part of that was the Bartolo Colon to the Expos for Grady Sizemore, Cliff Lee, maybe Brandon Phillips, I think was a part of that trade, maybe something. No, maybe Brandon Phillips is a different trade, but either way, it was great. I think it's Cliff Lee, Sizemore, and someone else. Crazy trade.
What were you doing in 2015?
2015.
Were you was that when you were doing sales?
I was in energy safety sales in 2015.
I'm sorry,
he was walking into refineries and petrochemical plants and selling gas detection equipment and breathing. No, 2015. No, never mind. I was in this business by 2015.
Great.
I'm thinking of 2009. Jeez Louise.
Wow.
2015. I was interning
with you.
Yeah, you were interning with me. Yeah. So good job.
Grady Sizemore somehow played.
I went to 2009 there.
Grady Sizemore somehow played two seasons with the Phillies. Part of 2014 and 39 games on the 2015 Phillies.
Thrilling. All right, what do you got in the take bag?
Just Grady Sizemore numbers.
Yeah, it's definitely nap time for me. I've reached my
dude. 06 Sizemore, 53 doubles. That's a lot of freaking
doubles.
Doubles,
yeah,
man.
It is.
290 with a 907 OPS. What a guy. All right.
What you got here?
I'm just gonna see.
I know. How mad I know.
So I hope that last night in the ninth was just managing Hoffman's innings and that Estevez needed some work rather than that's going to be Estevez's spot in the postseason.
We talked about it.
If they're managing Hoffman's innings, I'm great with that. Like overjoyed, mm-hmm. frankly, because I I don't need him overworked heading into October.
I agree 100%.
And Estevez has pitched twice in the last 7 days, mm-hmm. so he did theoretically need work. And maybe there's a scenario where they felt better about him in the ninth. If it went to 10, they want Hoffman for that spot, you know, with a runner on second base and no outs because he can get strikeouts better. But if that happens in the postseason, I'm going to throw a
freak fit. Out, man.
I'm going to throw a fit.
I agree.
He is the best reliever. And by the way, Kirkering.
I'm with you, buddy.
Kirkering.
Preach, pal.
Dude, he's awesome. He is awesome. I think I figured out when the Phillies offense struggles the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pendulum. I think this is right. Could be wrong. They struggle the most.
I know.
So they're sweet. I got their sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And when they struggle, there's mm-hmm. two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
When they struggle, and this is obvious, but elite pitching, mm-hmm. like the best of the best, mm-hmm. they got no shot. Mm-hmm. Or
the worst of the worst.
Elite pitching development.
Yeah.
Or it's a guy you've never heard
of. Yeah, it's one of the
slash a rookie.
This is good.
Like, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Right in the middle, they're fine.
Yeah.
Well, the guys can be pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. You've heard of the other guy
yeah. you know,
down below.
Yeah.
They either have to be someone you've never heard of and they'll suck or and be a rookie or whatever, or the best of the best. That's when they struggle the most. So the Brewers have an unbelievable pitching development. Again, I'm not too worried about 32 strikeouts in two games.
Mm-hmm.
They almost were 5-0 when they struck out 16 times in a game
this
year, which is a fantastic bit.
It's a great bit.
Because if they did it and they went to 5-0, I needed them to do it in a postseason game.
Oh, it would have been.
It would have been the funniest thing of all time.
It would have been
people
great.
Freaking out. They're never going to win. Bang, 16 strikeouts. Phils win a postseason game.
Would have been great.
It's my dream. Yeah. It's all I want.
It could happen.
It could definitely happen. Yeah. This team is very capable.
Yeah,
of it.
They are.
But it was definitely like we definitely do not need to strike.
No, that times. Sounds so horrible. Horrible yes, watch.
Does. Yes. I'm trying to think of what will annoy you the least.
No, that's great. Thanks, buddy. Just roll with it.
Craig Kimbrel released.
Yeah, no,
bring
we're
him
good.
Home.
We're good. No, stop.
Bring him up.
You want to talk about what will annoy the audience? Worry about that. All right, that's a joke that people don't want to hear.
I had a feeling last night.
Okay.
About the postseason.
You had a feeling.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just letting everyone know now.
Uh-huh.
Now, I believe it's 2 years ago. The bit heading into the postseason was that's not the Schwarber home run.
Yes.
Which I
which
missed.
Was a good one.
I like that one.
Yeah, it was a good bit. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
And this one is very specific and it's not as good as the Schwarber bit. Just letting everyone know.
Good. I like just setting expectations low. It's good.
At some point this postseason,
mm-hmm.
Stubbs is going to lay down a great bunt. Like a great bunt.
Okay. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
Stubbs might not get in the bat.
He's going to get in the bat.
Okay.
It's going to be a big spot. Like, here's how it's going to happen is it's going to be the seventh inning or later. Rojas is up with the runners on first and second.
They've
no
righty in and they bring Stubbs in. I just don't see this happening. Then you're using your backup catcher.
I don't care.
Okay. I
do care, actually. I'm lying. I very much care.
I think there's only way. The only way Stubbs is getting in if they're up like 10-0 or down 10.
No. He's going to lay down. Let's say he's going to lay down a great
bunt. Good bit. I like it.
Thank you.
He's going to lay down a great bit. I'm
a great bunt.
Yeah, I'm in.
A great bunt.
An all-time bunt that we'll talk about for generations.
I don't know what the plan is for the cleanup spot. Like, why is... Well, and Castellanos has been great.
Seems like it's Nick, right?
But why? He's hitting 175 since Bohm went down from
really?
The four spot.
Is he really?
Yes.
Yeah.
With a 286 slugging percentage.
It should be Bohm. I mean,
of course it should be Bohm.
Yeah, that's really weird. I didn't realize
he'd
been
that
bad.
And Cassie's hitting 280 something, I think, from the five hole.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
We don't need to mess around.
Rob's weird.
he just loves old guys.
I know.
He just
it's
loves
got a little Girardi in him, man.
He loves
it. It's the Girardi
in
him.
It's kind of Torrey. Now, Torrey didn't he move A-Rod like eighth in 06?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Could you imagine that they moved Bryce?
I can't imagine Rob doing anything like that. I just can't.
Why'd you bury Steve Jolt this morning?
Because he was the... So, that's fair. So, growing up in my house, the two players who my dad just thought were the worst were Steve Jelts and Izell Jenkins. So those were the two players who got the brunt of the jokes or ribbings in my house growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I always, and I mean, statistically,
yeah,
we backed up. My go-to, that guy sucks as a Phillies player growing up was always Steve Jelts around my house. So that's the first one that popped in my mind.
Who's the other name?
Izell Jenkins.
Oh, Izell Jenkins.
Yeah, right, Toast.
I thought, who's the, was it Tartable?
Oh, yeah. But you can play it all. Like, so yeah.
Four at bats.
Four at bats. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as always,
my Lance Parrish got some ribbon in my house growing up.
Yeah. I guess mine was probably David Bell.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
I mean,
that
David Bell, for what it's
was
worth,
was way better, I know.
Way better than Steve Jeltz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, David Bell's 04 is underrated.
Steve Jeltz did stink as a player. He seems like a great guy. So shout out to Steve Jeltz. But, you know,
I know. We all
didn't like when I ripped Steve Jeltz. It was like,
well, everyone's like, ho, ho. It's like, meanwhile, Steve Jeltz has been getting ripped for 35
horrible
years.
Horrible guys. Like, what are we doing here? They were like, oh, you're friends with Steve. Okay, I got
yes,
it.
That's it.
Good to know. Thank you. Just so we get that out there. Yes.
Tucker, can you scrub the audio of me saying David Bell in 04 was a problem?
Yeah.
It's all right in 04.
That was bad. Yeah, it was a bad moment for you. That
dude.
Especially because that was the year you got the cycle, too.
So. Yeah, I know. Okay. And it was also the year that, it was after that year when Polanco picked up his extension or picked up his arbitration so that they kept blocking Utley and could never bring Utley up. But regardless, on to more important things. What do you make of... I got two more things, I promise.
Emily's texting me about when I'm picking her up, so just responding. Good.
Your quick thoughts. What do you make of this? The continued Soto rumors?
They're weird.
But they're there.
Yeah.
Like, there's clearly something there.
Look, I think the Phillies are going to get attached to big names now, kind of with these huge signings that they've made. They've shown they've been willing to spend money. So I think that that's probably part of it. And I think that there's obviously the connection with a bunch of guys who are on those teams are here now, you know?
Well, and Kevin Long.
I would be shocked if Juan Soto is not a Yankee after the season.
I agree. Yeah. There's just something about the Phillies and Soto thing.
Desperately. You know how I feel.
I think they had the third best odds to get him.
I would be shocked if, and look, he's the one you should give it to. I would just be shocked after the trade contract if they're looking to go give another, like, you know.
I know.
12-year, $450 million contract where the hell wants
it. I think the only way it becomes a real thing is if they lose in the DS.
Yes, I think that's fair. That's a really good point. If they're out early and people are freaking out, it's like, all right, screw it.
We're getting so. Yeah, it's almost maybe. Like Owens and 04. Yeah, and 04.
Which, you know, I don't want to lose, but I idea.
No, I
would not be upset with Juan Soto being a Philly for the next decade plus.
So I'm just letting you know, because we never lie to the High Hopes listeners. Uh-huh. And I don't believe this, but I unfortunately only think sometimes in Twitter poll questions. Mm-hmm. Would you take a first round loss for Juan Soto? Guarantees you Juan Soto for 10 years?
Probably.
Dude, it's so hard to say no.
Yeah, probably. I'd have to think about it, but probably.
Well, hopefully, maybe they can win the World Series and get Juan Soto.
Yeah. Well, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. I think that, I mean, this question.
I want people to put that in group chats today.
Yeah,
when you listen to the podcast and you're texting your friends about the
fellas, I love this, yeah.
Would you take a first-round loss if it guaranteed you Juan Soto?
I think I would. Yes. I think I would. I hate it. I hate saying it. No, it really hurts. Yes.
I'm sorry.
I would. Thank you for making me.
I wouldn't. Go, Phils.
Are we done? I'm out here. Are we done?
Can I give one music thought?
Sure. I like your music thoughts. That's
really right. I really hope we don't lose the forgotten great bands. Like, Boston's a great band.
Yeah, Boston's great.
And like,
well, you know, Foreplay, Long Time.
Dude, Hitch a Ride.
Sure.
To, like, More Than a Feeling. You know, not just Boston.
More Than a Feeling is great.
Like, Supertramp, like Peter Frampton.
T-Rex, like, you a T-Rex guy?
I don't know T-Rex.
You should check out T-Rex. T-Rex is awesome.
You know T-Rex?
Yes.
I'm not talking about, like, The Who. I'm not talking about, like, the big band.
I know. That's why I said T-Rex.
Never.
I know.
But
well, that's on you, buddy.
There's a lot
You've probably heard a T-Rex song and you don't realize
it. Yeah. Well, listen. It's on me because you're, you know.
And again.
You don't have much time left.
You're like Boston. You're going. Yeah. Ouch. You're going Boston is like, wow, have you ever heard of this band called Boston?
No. I'm just
like,
saying,
they're huge.
But they've lost their luster.
Of course, many bands have.
2009 Boston was a problem. 2024 Boston, they're not brought up as much. I'm just saying.
No,
it's more on me and Tucker, and eventually as I pass it
the
down.
The next generation.
Yeah, yes. Like you've got.
I'll be way dead. So that's the takeaway. Right, yeah. You know?
I just hope
this guy's screwed. So this is more for the next generation of people.
James Taylor also underrated.
Sure. I mean, but he's folk. I mean, different.
I know. Folk John Denver also.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Sweet Baby James of it all. But that was played all over your
my
house.
My mom sang it to me.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure she did.
Literally. She yeah.
That John, an underrated Dumb and Dumber line is that John Denver's full.
Oh, yeah. It's great. So good. That's like your go-to most quotable movie.
It's the most quotable movie of all time.
It's up there. It's up there.
What's more quotable than Dumb and Dumber? You can just quote it all day.
It's up there. I'm saying, I'm sure. I mean,
you keep saying it's up there, but then you're not saying something else, Mr. Movie.
Well, I need to think about it. Here, let me pull up my list of many movies.
All right, we can go.
I mean, Anchorman is pretty damn quotable. Probably not than Dumb and Dumber. We've talked about
it. I would say I Love You, Man, but no one loves I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man, but it's not as quotable as Dumb and Dumber. I mean,
Superbad,
I love. I think Superbad's the funniest movie of the 2000s, but I don't think it's as quotable.
Better movie, Superbad or The Hangover?
I think Superbad's the best comedy of the 2000s, personally. Interesting. Yeah.
I love the first.
Hangover's great. I think Superbad is the best of all that stuff.
Got a little too sappy.
Superbad?
Yeah, there's like the halfway through.
It's so great.
I love the
best friends. You don't like best friends? You're not into best friends?
The funny part about
not
it.
Not into love? Young love?
Well, listen, it came out when I was in high school. So yeah, it was very
that's true.
relatable. You know me. Yeah. Big party guy.
Yeah, that's true. I was a big party guy.
I'm sure you
were. Yeah. I can bring it. All right, we out of here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a miracle.
Met series, baby.
We did it. Met series. We'll be back.
If they clinch the division.
Yes, we'll figure it out. We'll record.
Yeah.
We'll be there. Come on.
Yeah. Dude, first division since 2011.
Taiwanimus. I know. It is a big deal. I'm excited about this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Taiwanimus.
Happy Taiwanimus
Day. Happy Taiwanimus Day. He's for himself.